Welcome to the All 7 Ace podcast, recorded live at the Hammond Point Studios in Lyman, South Carolina. We are just a couple of church members having conversations about spiritual matters where the Bible gets to define truth and our minds and perspectives get to conform to that truth. You can send your question in at askatall7days.com, 864-660-9473. Leave a voicemail or text. Join the All 7 Days Hangout on Facebook. Listen on all your favorite podcasting apps. You can support the show at anchor.fm/all7days. Leave us a monthly donation there. That would be awesome. $1 a month will help. And you can get mugs and t-shirts at all7days.com/shop. Thanks for listening today. We have both the Sturgills on at the same time, yet they are still not in the same room. Jonathan, Rachel, what the heck? And we have a third Sturgill on the podcast today, the Nugget himself. Mr. Raylan Sturgill makes his podcast debut. Why are you guys not in the same room still? I mean, I heard that.
He's on the road.
Jonathan?
But he's on his way home.
I am.
He's early. On his way home currently, and Rachel is still across the street. So, Rachel, why are you across the street and not in person in the studio? You know you don't get paid as much if you don't come into the studio.
I am sad to say that the Nugget has COVID, and so we are still in quarantine for him. He has some congestion and been coughing, especially at night, but he's on the uphill. He's been sleeping better every night, so hopefully he'll be on the mend, and then we'll be free on Saturday.
Do we need to mention how he got COVID?
He got COVID from my mom, his grandma, and we don't know how she got it or where she got it from.
It's one of those things where if you just, you know, I'm sure we're exposed 1,000 times a day if you just leave the house, right? And right. But the good news is the virus has diminished to such an extent that it's not much worse than a cold. If it's even worse than a cold, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's not that bad right now. So, well, we hate that he's sick. And Jonathan, you're driving through Atlanta right now. Is that right?
Yep. Coming back through some Atlanta traffic. Gotta love it. I sound defeated. It's because I'm in Atlanta.
Well, if we hear a big bang and you cut out, then we'll know what happened. So, but hopefully that won't happen. So,
I'm trying to keep my road rage down while we're talking.
Keep your camera off so we don't see any your number ones thrown out at your fellow travelers.
I'll just start screaming, "You need Jesus."
Great response. That's good. All right. Well, we do have a question from Chuck, and it has to do with James chapter 5, and it's sort of a follow-up of our Matthew 18 conversation where we were talking about if two or more are praying for something, does God have to deliver on what we ask for? So we're going to get into that right after this quick message. This is the All 7 Days Podcast. Welcome back to the All 7 Days Podcast. Rachel, Jonathan, Stan here, and Rayland making his podcast debut. And I'm sure he's going to contribute a lot to this question. So the question comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Let me read that, and then we'll get into, there's actually four questions here. I thought they were all really good. So James chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him pray. Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So, an interesting, very interesting passage of scripture there. Let's start with the first question. What does the prayer of faith save the sick person from? In verse 15, it says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. What is it saving him from? His what?
His sin.
His sins? Well, then, if that's the case, it says in the next sentence, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Is that...
But doesn't everybody commit sins?
Well, yes, they do. But so is that what it's talking about when it says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven? I'm just trying to get to what we're talking about here when it says what is he saved from? It feels to me, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. It feels to me like it's saving him from his sickness, because it says the faith will save the one who is sick and the Lord will raise him up. And then it talks about forgiveness of sins. So there's a combination here going on. I'm not saying it could be saved from his sins, but it seems like he's talking about two different things here. Am I wrong there? Is that how you read it?
No, I think there's separation there. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
But as Rachel and I talked about previously, the sickness that he's referring to, or when he is saved from his sickness, does not necessarily entail now on earth. I'm in heaven. I'm going to be, healthy as can be, and all my previous medical history is erased. Like, I will be free of sickness.
Okay, that's an interesting way to look at it. I'm still wondering if that's what this scripture is talking about, though. So if anyone's suffering, let him pray. If anyone's sick, call for the elders. They'll anoint him with oil, pray over them, and the Lord will raise him up. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, granted, right? Once we are with the Lord, we're no longer subject to sickness and death, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is that what this is saying? I'm making you squirm just a little bit. I know.
A little bit. I feel like it's what is the scripture saying? Like, stop making out something that you're thinking of. What does it tell you?
What does it say? That's right. Let's read it well. What does it say?
The word raise, where exactly, I haven't looked this up, but what word is that kind of resembling? What do you see that as by the definition of raise? Like, where is he being raised up?
Well, I'm assuming he's being raised up from his deathbed, his sick bed. But I have a wonderful, here's a great website for anyone who is interested in looking at original text, and that is BibleHub.com. And I'm looking up this right now. I should have done this beforehand, but hey, we are completely and utterly prepared for this show at all times. And I'll also say that this is the most organized show that you're listening to at this time.
Most definitely.
James 5. We're going to what verse is this? This is verse 15. 15. I have to hit 4. Oh, my goodness gracious. Interlinear. Let's do that. And let's click for the chapter. All right. So it spreads things out. So it takes a second to scroll down to get to the verse you're wanting. So this is really riveting for our listeners right now. And the prayer of faith will save the one ailing and will raise up him to the Lord. And if sins he might be having committed, it will be forgiven him. So the word Igarii means will raise up. Let me tap that word and see if we can get a little more detail. Shall raise up, will raise up. I mean, that's pretty much what it means.
Straightforward.
You're going to get up. Okay. He'll be raised up. So I don't want to, I think they've done a pretty good job of translating that word. I don't see anything out of ordinary here. It looks to me like that he's being saved or brought out of the sickness and healed, mm-hmm. right? Therefore, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. It's a prayer of healing. I think healing has happened, and as a bonus, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so possibly, if the sin you committed caused the sickness, you know, that happens sometimes too, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why is healing brought about by confessing sins? Oh, there's a great question. So verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and it is working. So why is healing brought about by confessing sins?
So I believe that your healing by confessing your sin, reliance on God and showing him that you believe that he's capable of all things, including forgiving all of your sins, which are many, on top of being able to heal you.
Okay. So it's a matter of faith. So, okay. I think we may have to answer this question towards the end of things as well. But I do think it is interesting that confessing sins is directly tied with healing. And that may be more tied to, right, the reason that you're sick, right? If there is some sort of sin behind the reason for your disease or whatever, that might be part of it. So confessing that, getting that out in the open, so that you can be healed from it, might be part of it. That could be. So the next question, what does, and his words are, effectual fervent prayer mean? And that comes from the King James Version of verse 16. We have it translated in the ESV, the prayer of a righteous person has great power and effect. What are we talking about there? The prayer of a righteous person or effectual fervent prayer has great power.
So it's the passion and the persistence of your prayers to God and just bringing them to God over and over and over again.
Yep.
Just continuously bringing that request, that concern, that whatever to God over again with intensity.
Okay. So there's an intenseness, there's a persistence, and that is what makes it powerful and effective. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Could there be anything else that might be driving that?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll move on to the last question. Why is this kind of prayer activated by the righteous man? So verse 16 also, he's talking about there, therefore confess your sins one another, and maybe heal. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. That's an interesting way to word the question, Chuck. Maybe a little bit of clarity there might help. Why is this kind of prayer activated by the righteous man? And I think what he might be getting at is why is the righteous person required to pray, maybe, in order for this type of result to be brought about?
I kind of read it as, why does it have to be a righteous man in order to create this result?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I may have said it a little differently, but I think I'm tracking with you. I think that.
Okay.
I'm with you there. So why a righteous person to pray?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the answer? why I'm asking.
Jonathan, you got anything to say there?
I missed half of it. I had to call back in. Oh. My phone dropped.
Uh-oh. So we're asking why does this prayer have to be prayed by a righteous person?
I took it more as righteous meaning a true believer.
Okay.
That God is powerful in his sovereignty and to heal.
Okay. I think the key to understanding this entire paragraph are the last two verses, where he talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Okay. He's just like us, in other words. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain. And then in verse 18, and then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Okay. So, how was Elijah able to pray fervently that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't, and then he prayed again that it would, and it did? How did that happen? All right, so to find that out, we have got to go look at Elijah, the story of Elijah, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the explanation of what James is talking about here. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Elijah, Elijah goes to Ahab and tells Ahab that they've been wicked, right? They've been an awful, and so therefore God's bringing famine, and it's not going to rain for 3 years, or not going to rain again until Elijah prays for rain. And then he runs away and hides because he's afraid they'll force him to pray for rain. Okay, so it doesn't rain. There's a severe famine. And then you get the story of him battling the prophets of Baal. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the prophets of Baal come. There's 400 of them, and he's got a contest for them. They put the altar up. They put the sacrifice on it, and the challenge is, you prophets of Baal, 400 of you, pray to your God, and if he sends fire down to consume the sacrifice, then your God is real and mine's not. So they pray, mm-hmm. They pray all day, they're frustrated, he's saying, hey, maybe your God is asleep, maybe he's relieving himself, maybe he's disposed of. I mean, literally, he says that, right? And, mm-hmm. and you know, shout louder, whatever. So they get all worked up. They cut themselves. No avail, right? There's no fire. Then Elijah calls down fire from heaven in just an instant, right? But in his prayer, I thought it was very interesting. Let me find it. Okay, in chapter 18, verse 36, and at the time of the offering of the ablation. Elijah and the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham. This is as he's praying to call down fire. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. That's the key phrase. Everything that Elijah has done, prayed for, God told him to do it. How can Elijah pray for it not to rain for until he prays for rain and be so confident that it won't rain? Because God told him to pray that it wouldn't rain. So what did he do? He prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't. Why didn't it rain? Because God said, it's not going to rain and I'm involving you in this, so pray for that. And then God tells him, go pray for rain. And how did Elijah respond to that? He prayed for rain. But did he just pray one time? No. He prayed. He sent a servant. Tell me what you see in the sky. Nothing. Okay, I'm going to pray some more. Send his servant. What do you see in the sky? Nothing. Okay, I'm going to pray some more. Send his servant again. What do you see in the sky? I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, go tell Ahab the rain's coming. And it rained. Mm-hmm. And it rained. I think that's what James is trying to show us here, right? If someone is sick, let him call for the elders and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. How can we go, especially as elders, to someone who has asked for this type of prayer, mm-hmm. and pray it with confidence? Because the Lord just said, I will raise him up. And we can go in confidence knowing that we can pray for A and get A as long as we hear from God telling us, this is my will. This is what I'm going to do. That's why he gives us the example of Elijah, right? Elijah being just like us, hears from God, this is what I'm going to do, pray for that. Elijah prays for that. God does what he says. Duh. Because that's what God does. God does what he says he's going to do. I think that's what we see this. It's the difference in saying faith is believing God will do what I ask for versus faith is believing God will do what he says he'll do. Right? I think that's the huge difference that most of us approach prayer with. And, you know, again, we've talked about prayer a ton at church, right? Mm-hmm. Recently through Luke 11, we know God wants to do certain things and we should pray for those things because he's told us to pray for those things, even though he's told us he's going to do them. That's how we're involved in it. So I think
one really important part in all of this, yep. is that prayer is not a one-way conversation.
Oh, you're so right.
We have to understand that when we're praying, it's not only us speaking to God, it's us listening to what God wants us to pray for and what he wants us to do.
Yeah. And I think...
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest ways you can start a prayer is to say, God, what do you want to pray for? What do you want me to pray for right now? Mm-hmm. How can I direct my prayer so that I know that it's what you want? And I think he'll help with that. I think he does. That's what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit within us takes when we don't know how to pray, and he fixes it, right? And prays for God's will for our lives and for others. I think that's huge. I think you're exactly right. If you look at a good many of the conversations that Abraham has with God, God mm-hmm. starts the conversation and ends the conversation. There is no amen. Mm-hmm. God shows up and says, hey, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And he's gone. I think it's very interesting to see things like that. But you're right. God has a lot to say, and we're too busy trying to get our agenda in to listen a lot of times. Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
Which is why sometimes people are not always healed when we pray for it, because maybe although we're praying for it, it's not, we have not received the word from God
yes.
that this is what's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely.
And so although we can still pray for that,
mm-hmm.
it may not be in his will, and if we're not listening well enough, then we're not going to understand that.
True. Jonathan, are you praying for anything right now as you're on the interstate coming through Atlanta?
For traffic to lighten up. I just got hit with 30 more minutes somewhere.
Uh-oh. 30
but
more minutes?
It's, as far as the intentional prayer, it's also, at least for me and something I've learned, it's more so just let his will be done. I mean, and being okay with the outcome as long as that's his will, that was a huge factor for me. It's sort of less about me prayer, more about him prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's comforting. My microphone's falling over. It's so comforting to know that, you know, if God has his will, and he will, that it's for our best. It's for his glory and our joy, and that's always best.
It's always to bring glory to him.
Yes, absolutely. But our problem is we just sometimes can't get our mind around, well, it would certainly give God more glory, right, if this person was healed,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
maybe it wouldn't,
right? And I've seen that happen, right? I've seen people be healed from things, and
mm-hmm.
basically they left after that, right? They got what they wanted,
right.
And that's all they wanted.
Then their reliance on God is gone.
Exactly.
And then.
Yep. I have seen that.
Which is not what he wants.
Right.
He wants our reliance to be fully on him.
That's
and
correct.
So if your healing is going to lead to leaving and not bringing him glory, then maybe that's not what needs to happen.
Right. And, you know, and I've talked about Paul before, right? Paul had the thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. You know, he prayed that God would heal it 3 times. And God said, nope, you'll be better off just living in my grace rather than being healed. So, cool. Anything else? Any other things that jumped out at you about that scripture?
Nope. Now I'm getting attacked by a dog. Not actually attacked, like love
right.
attack.
Right, a love attack. Seen that. Cool.
I bet that would be Harley.
Yes.
Yep, it would. Harley is a beautiful, loving,
crazy
dog. She loves with her whole self.
Her whole body
all loves. All right, cool. We will we'll leave it there. Thanks, guys, for joining in the conversation today. And thanks for all our listeners for tuning in. And remember, get your questions and comments in askitall7days.com, 864-660-9473. Leave us a review on iTunes and support the podcast, all7days.com/shop or anchor.fm/all7days. This is the All 7 Days podcast, where the goal is to make you think so highly of God that you forget about yourself. Now go give someone what you value most today.